Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith. We look at these intersections every afternoon for 50 minutes. Interesting news, some things that I've put over on the Facebook page that you can follow along on. We'll be talking about this afternoon. One, the continued challenges with the videos of the Planned Parenthood activists there who were... of course, indicted now, one of them turning herself in, David DeLight, and expected to do so, and the legal battle begins now. We'll talk a little bit about that this afternoon. And in a related fashion, the fact that cell phone video is so prevalent that you would think that in this day and age, everyone would be on their best behavior. And I posted the story about the Waffle House employees getting fired for doing their hair and getting caught on video from a customer. And another disturbing video that I saw yesterday on a friend's Facebook page where this particular employee of this particular fast food place is literally cussing out the customer, supposedly because they're asked to wash their hands. So the question is the phone mightier than the sword these days? We'll get into all of that and also take a look at the caucus results a little bit more deeply. All of that and more. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back in a moment.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, every afternoon for 50 minutes here. Found this interesting video on a friend's Facebook page and reposted it because it's so chilling. When you see this and you realize this is the future of America. And these are college kids at Texas Tech, apparently, Salon, the website, put this out there, and asking questions like, who won the Civil War? And one respondent says, "What, the one in 1965? What Civil War are you talking about?" and that, you know, that's just the beginning. And then we get into a very interesting, I guess, realization, revelation, whatever, that these kids are pretty darn informed when it comes to knowing who the characters of the Jersey Shore happen to be, or the intimate details of Brad Pitt's relationships. Well, they got all that information right at hand. They have no problem recalling that. But who is the vice president? Is this a trick question? One of them asks. So it's disturbing. I want to say that it's entertaining. I want to say that there's something about it that is kind of fun to watch, but it's one of those very tragic episodes that really kind of make you worried. So we'll hope that maybe this is their first day in college and they'll get all of that education while they're there. I don't know. You would hope that they would have that information certainly before they got there, but guess not. Of course, we got the caucus results. Apparently, Donald Trump is saying that Cruz stole his victory. I don't know what he means by that exactly, but we'll maybe dig into that a little bit later on. Saw that headline pop up a moment ago. The herd is thinning, and again, we'll talk about that later. Interesting political point from CNN with our president visiting a mosque, and I guess this is, from what I understand, the first ever visit of a president to a mosque, and this would make some who are convinced that President Obama is a closeted Muslim convinced, well, now he's showing his true colors. Dinesh D'Souza was right. It's 2016. Sharia law is right around the corner. And unfortunately, we have this type of vitriol against this. It's not just Muslims. It undoubtedly, there's a tremendous amount of unfortunate negativity pointed toward them, but it's anyone that's feared. It's anyone who we disagree with. We will attack. And as I posted on my Facebook page yesterday, and then was roundly confirmed after having done this, that, you know, when you take a particular stance and you stand on that, anything that looks different will be, yeah, I mean, you know, those who see that what you're doing looks different from them, they will be suspect of you at best. And some will be rightly disgusted by you and angered by you taking the stance that you've taken, which I say that I'm passionately centrist, and people don't understand what that means. It means that I'm seeking a virtuous life first and foremost, which says everything in balance, right? In balance, right? And that's hard to understand. And I understand it's hard to understand because I didn't understand this until I began to understand it, which is easier said than experienced, perhaps. But, and I encourage anyone who thinks they've got the concept of virtue down to step into the very challenging, and I say it's challenging not because of the way it's written, because of what it does, I think, at least it did to me internally as I was reading this, and this realization of, oh my goodness, I've been so far off kilter all of this time, was going back and reading Aristotle's Ethics and saying, wow, you know, I need to embrace this understanding. Now, there are those who would say that I don't even know what Aristotle was talking about when he wrote Ethics if I've taken this approach, but I would say let's explore virtue a little bit more and let's see what this is all about. So when I look at something of this nature, I can't, and certainly I've positioned myself politically where I can, fortunately, call out the challenges on both sides of the fence, which are there and we know it, but I think I can also affirm both sides of the fence because of the good things that are there, and they need to be. And again, that doesn't mean that I'm easily swayed or I'm a fence rider. I, again, am centrist, which that's tough. That's tough to understand. But I will say this. I want to applaud this in our president for making the effort to go and show solidarity with those of the Muslim community, those who are peaceful Muslims, those who simply want to live their faith the best they understand it, and they have no desire to be radical jihadists. They are not planning suicide attacks. They don't have a stockpile of weaponry in their basement. They are not out there demanding Sharia law be enacted in their communities. They are just people of their faith doing the best that they can with what they have. And why any of us would criticize our president for going to a mosque and saying what he said. I am Saint John Paul II, of course, was criticized for doing something similar, right? Because he approached the Islamic community with the understanding that he was their Holy Father as well, as any pope should realize that that is their position. They are the vicar of Christ on earth, and the entire earth is theirs, right? They are stewards. They are spiritual stewards of the entire globe. And when then Pope John Paul II, now St. John Paul II, went and visited a mosque and even kissed the Quran. This was controversy. Many saying this is further proof of his heresy. I think that there were those who were already convinced of it, and this just seemed to confirm it all. Rather than realize there's something beautiful about embracing the other side. Embracing the other side to the point that we now have an opportunity to be trusted. We now have an opportunity to be heard. And if we really believe that supposedly attributed to St. Francis, which I guess it is that quote of seek first to understand as opposed to being understood, then why would we not want to reach into any area we possibly can to begin the challenging efforts of understanding? And it certainly, I believe, is it's the strongest opportunity of evangelization we could ever have. But yet we are so fearful, I believe, of doing this. And I whether it's because of the fear that's there from those who have misused their positions or from those who have misinterpreted even their own faith to the point of doing egregious things. Not sure exactly where it all began, but it could end with us deciding, you know what, we are going to confidently, in our faith, reach into these areas and affirm where we can. And certainly when you look at ecumenism, right, and you understand what our catechism has to say about what ecumenism really means, which is all of us of people of faith working together regardless of the faith background, that's what it looks like, right? It looks like some degree of affirmation of one another, especially in service, especially in giving to our communities. And the president certainly affirmed the Muslim contribution from the military to police officers, to firefighters, to those who have been upstanding U.S. citizens. And this is good, right? But undoubtedly, there are those who will want to criticize just the simple gesture, just the fact that how dare he? And as I said before, which I have no evidence of, but I'm convinced that it happened. I'm convinced that it happened because I know human nature enough to know that this would not be surprising if on the day of Pentecost, when those of the upper room went out to speak the language of the culture, there had to be those who criticized them, saying things of the nature, how dare they even try to speak that language? Why would they go there? Right? Not from those who are like, why are you here? Why are you bothering me? But those who are supposedly on their side saying, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Right? Why go to them? It's the Jonah story, right? I don't want to go to them. I hate them. They make me sick. I'm physically repulsed by these people of Nineveh. Why would I go there? But oftentimes that's what we're called to. The most is to reach into those areas where we don't want to, where we have a degree of fear or even hatred. Because now we have an opportunity. And look what happened. He didn't expect conversion. That was the last thing he expected, but they actually listened to him. It took getting swallowed by the fish and coughed up on the beach for him to get there, but he got there and they actually listened. So I think sometimes it takes this some serious soul searching to discover, you know, why am I feeling this way about this particular person or people, and maybe what am I called to? Worth examining. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. I will post many of the things we discuss here on the show over there. You can comment ahead of time. Like, share. Sometimes I'm stealing other things that I find on Facebook, of course. As John Lennon said, good artists create, great artists steal. Something of that nature, right? Who knows? Was it Picasso who originally said it? I don't know. But we steal the good stuff. Why not? But interesting, after now the fallout of the Iowa caucus, we certainly see Rand Paul dropping out of the race at this point. And now we will continue to see what happens as we move toward New Hampshire, which, of course, these two early indicators of maybe who it's going to be to get the nomination that could potentially reveal something. But I think what it reveals mostly is who doesn't have a shot, right? That really is what it boils down to. Who needs to hang it up and who needs to stop spending money, time and energy on something that just simply is not going to happen. So we'll see what happens probably this time next week. We'll know a little bit more about the thinning of the herd and see exactly where things are. So, of course, a big bump for Cruz with his victory, Hillary with a very narrow margin, and it really remains to be seen exactly where these individuals are going to go between now and then, and could there be? I mean, I still think this is a question worth asking and one that we can't answer yet because there's still so much time between now and then. It would take the nomination to occur, right? We would have to get through the conventions in the middle of the summer, right? That's about when that happens. And then see who has momentum still at that point. Could there be an independent run? Could there be someone throwing their hat in on that side? And as I have said, in order for it to really work effectively, it's going to take one from either side politically to do something of that nature if they are dissatisfied with the nomination. Now, I have said, and I would still stand behind this, we'll see where it leads, but neither Trump or Sanders are really material for their party. They are very anti-establishment, if you will, for the parties that they represent, and perhaps securing that nomination could be tough for either of them. And they both have a tremendous amount of ground support, there's no doubt. So how this ends up ultimately still has a lot of time between now and then, but I think we're going to see a significant thinning of the herd, at least on the, of course, on the Republican side next week, and we'll see where this goes moving into the primaries that are we still have to get through before we get to the party nominations. But interesting things, and I heard Mike Allen's guest talking about this morning, that the challenge now, because of Trump's confidence, so confident that he was so on top, even to the point of skipping the last debate before the Iowa caucus, which I think many would say that gave Cruz that extra advantage because he kind of seemed to be the one in the center square and with all of the attention and the hard questions that he had to defend. And apparently he did a fine job doing that to the point that he was able to garner this kind of support. But of course, there's no guarantee that winning Iowa means anything moving forward. But I think as I've understood it, and I haven't researched this enough, winning Iowa, or I should say losing Iowa and losing New Hampshire, both is pretty much that one's tough to recover from. So we'll see where that goes again next week. But certainly in all of this, I think it's a time, in this early time, pardon me, it's a time to at least begin to kind of explore these candidates a little bit more. And I would hope as people of faith, we do our due diligence of understanding what these individuals represent, what their ethics are, do they really believe what they say they believe? We can certainly look at voting records of those who have spent time in congressional positions and senatorial positions and you name it, all of these things that are out there as public record. If we wanted to dig deeply enough, we could. and we can begin to make some very informed decisions. And even for those of us who may be independently registered voters who can't do anything in the primaries to manipulate anything from our votes, we can certainly get there when it comes to the time of the general election. And hopefully we've done our homework and we know who we need to vote for. And that's the thing that we have to understand as Catholics, that we cannot, I think, understate or discuss enough that we have to vote on principle, right? We have to realize that this is our opportunity to stand behind what we say we stand behind. And what is it? Where's the consistency there? And it's tough, right? It's tough. I believe it's one of the most challenging things to do effectively when you realize what the Catholic ethos is, right? And I kind of have had a slow awakening to this, I have to admit. And I know that I have very devoutly Catholic friends who disagree with me vehemently. I get it. I realize that. And they think that I'm some sort of, I don't know what, right? I mean, like I say, I mean, I get criticized equally on both sides politically, trust me. And as I've asked many people who ask these questions of me, it's all out there public. It's all public knowledge, right? I discuss things here openly. I post and discuss things openly on Facebook. You should be able to see where I stand. And you should be able to see that I do get the criticism equally on both sides. But I realize that standing in what appears to be in a moderate position is something that people can't tolerate. They're like, and it's not moderation. It's passion. It's an attempt to stay balanced. 573-4-BREAD-4, by the way, is the number to call. 573-4-BREAD-4. I should tell you that more often. You can also text in on that number, and our text messages go to the email. You can leave voice messages on that number if you got something to say, and we're always happy to hear from you. And, of course, you can go to our website and email directly in, and if you got something to comment on, we're always happy to hear from you there. But, again, this is tough stuff, and I hope that, as you know, this is a time. This is a time when ideally we begin to examine even more closely what we can and cannot tolerate, and in ourselves, right? Because this is what it all comes down to. And as G.K. Chesterton says, what's wrong with the world is me, essentially. This is where we really have the opportunity to self-examine and perhaps do the tough work, which, again, I've tried to do. I continue to try to do. And I assure you, like I say, I mean, my faith life, I've explained this many times this way. 5 years as an evangelical, I really wasn't examining a lot, right? I was kind of comfortable, complacent, at least. I kind of felt like I had arrived, right? I was a kid in my late 20s. But I felt like, hey, you know, I finally kind of settled into something that makes sense to me, something that I enjoy. I enjoy this participation in this faith. And I say it was like a beach vacation, 5 years of just sunning on the beach and playing in the waves spiritually. And then, as crazy as it would be, I know without doubt I am called to become Catholic. I did not like what God was calling me to. I fought what God was calling me to for a long time until I finally gave in and took the step into the Catholic Church. And now, to this day, my faith remains an Everest climb. And not that I've been on a beach vacation. I've not been on an Everest climb. I've heard the testimonies of those who have been there, and it's grueling, right? It's difficult. It is deadly. Lethal for many, because it is so challenging. And that's how seriously I take the approach to my faith and how diligently I work at trying to understand and trying to live what I believe and trying to have a degree of consistency and an ethic that ideally, as I've said before, would allow someone to accuse me and convict me, literally, of having the convictions that I have. But as I've discovered, as I attempt this all the more, and I've said this for a dozen plus years behind this mic, but if in a day you can't be accused of being a conservative and a liberal by the opposite side, you're probably not expressing your faith effectively. And now, as I've said that many times, I think now I've gotten more public about my perspectives, and certainly Facebook has allowed that because I can get into these kind of discussions. I have found myself being accused of both sides of that, and it's isolating. It's very interesting, right? You don't garner a lot of support in that world. There's a handful of individuals who seem to maybe express what I understand, but to be able to stand behind principle and some of it being very politically charged, it's tough. It's really tough. But I think that that's part of what it looks like, right? It's part of what it looks like. Jesus never promised anything easy to anyone, right? Take up your cross is what he said. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. I'll post the stories we talk about typically over there. Give us some time to comment if you wish. The phone lines are always open, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can text in on that number as well if you got a comment, 573-4-BREAD-4. Text away. And you can leave a voicemail there if you choose not to go on the air live. I understand that it's intimidating for many. And if you prefer to do something of that nature, absolutely fine. Talked a little bit about those involved with the undercover videos with Planned Parenthood, certainly having these felony indictments against them and beginning to turn themselves in and place bond, all of the above, as this really just begins to unfold now for them and to see where this all goes. And as I have been critical, and I hope consistently critical, of those who take a stance of journalistic integrity, and I've been criticized in every way imaginable for saying this, but if that's your tactic, that's not a good tactic in my book, right? And someone who has been in this industry for a long, long time and really upholds an ethic, I think there's a distinction. Now, compare this to, and I think this is what I was getting to because I posted this on my Facebook page, Waffle House workers fired after this viral video of them doing their hair behind the counter there where they serve food went everywhere and they were gone. There was a video just yesterday that I saw from in our community here of a particular fast food place with one of the employees literally cussing out a patron, and this patron with a phone recording, which you should know this day and age, you're probably going to get some sort of viral reaction to that. There is going to be, and especially the more vocal you are, the more it's going to go big, right? And I don't know where the views on this video that I saw yesterday, but I'm sure it's already gotten out there because it was posted on Facebook, and everybody's going to see this. It's going to go everywhere. Very sensational, the stuff that happens. And apparently, supposedly, the customer did not see the employee wash their hands And she, in her defense, apparently said, "We use gloves. I don't have to wash my hands." Which isn't there? Yeah, there's that. There's typically signs all over restaurants like employees must wash hands, right? So, but no, now it's just employees must wear gloves. Well, whatever you have on your hands, wherever you've been, what have you been doing? That doesn't matter. We got gloves for that, right? So, regardless, it exploded. And from what I saw, this patron was being very, I would say, not antagonistic necessarily. I don't know what happened before the camera started rolling, but certainly no antagonism that I could see in this. They were commenting, but nothing that I would think was aggressive. And so here we have two completely different dynamics. One where someone is secretly being videotaped and no one knows, and they assume they're going to have a discussion about whatever that they do in their business, whatever it happens to be. And which, again, I know we have outrage over this. My outrage is over abortion, right? Please understand. I've also been criticized about this. Also, Leo, you're saying that you can justify killing of anyone as long as their body parts are used. No. My outrage is over taking life of anyone. It's not our place to do that. I don't care if it's a death row inmate. I don't care if it's a person in the womb. That's my outrage. That's what I've got a problem with. Let's start there, right? Let's start there. And let's all of us get on that page, because I know I've got friends who don't really care about abortion, who are all about the death penalty and they want that abolished, right? And I know that I got friends about abortion who think it's deserving of someone on death row to sit in the electric chair or to have a lethal injection. Let's get on the same page. We start there, then we don't have to worry about this kind of stuff. But anyway, as I was saying, the dynamic difference is here is a phone that's obviously recording you, right? They're holding it up almost as a weapon, right? And that's what I say. We're at a point now where when this thing comes out, as Ethan the board op said earlier, you probably want to think, hey, wait a minute, right? There's a phone. Oh, whoa, hey. Okay, I didn't know you had a phone. I didn't know you had a phone on you. Right, I mean, come on. It's almost like revealing a weapon. The game changes. But what's interesting to me is that it seems like it only escalates now that this is there. As if now I've even got more of a platform because I know everybody's going to see this and I'm going to say exactly what I want to say. So, for me, as a journalist, first off, these people aren't claiming to be journalists. They are, whether they realize it or not, because they're actually capturing a report from the scene. That's what they're doing, which is what any journalist longs for, right? Get there. Get the scoop. Get out there. Get on this thing. Get there immediately. And this is happening to the point now where those who don't even claim journalism are being a journalist to some degree because they're capturing this information live as it happens and then displaying it for everyone to see. But the primary difference, as I see it, is that when you pull out your phone, everybody knows it, right? Now it's up to them as far as to what the behavior, how the behavior changes and or escalates or shiz, because now you're saying, hey, I've got some power here. Please realize that I'm not the only one experiencing this within seconds of me uploading this. Understand what's about to happen. And it's a very powerful tool, which I would hope would keep us on our toes and would hopefully kind of keep us to the point of saying, maybe I shouldn't act that way. Now, we as people of faith, we hopefully realize we're being watched all the time anyway, right? And we've talked about character and integrity and what that looks like. And even when nobody is watching, you know, this is something we got to think about, because anybody could be watching. We know that there's surveillance cameras everywhere. I mentioned in our building, in these studios, there's surveillance cameras inside and outside. You can't walk around this building without being on videotape. Well, hard drive, right? Video hard drive. You're being captured all the time. Hopefully, it would allow us to maybe kind of think twice before we rip into someone aggressively, verbally, and jeopardize not only our job at that moment, but our entire career, because this stuff is out there. I would hope it would make us stop and think. So on that side, interestingly enough, I think it's a powerful tool that could be used, just as reviews are powerful. Right, somebody gets a bad review on a Yelp review, or selling something on eBay or Amazon.com, whatever. The reviews just add so much credence to the purchase and the power of this opportunity from a retail standpoint or whatever it may be, because others are going to say good things or bad things. We've got a very similar opportunity, I think, which is like never before for the citizenry to say, hey, we're going to capture this. We're going to share this. And not that we need to be antagonistic in this, and we certainly don't need to be secretive. And that's what's the most interesting thing in this, as I see it, is it's obvious, right? And even people are saying in this one particular video that I saw yesterday, I hope you know I'm recording you. I'm recording you right now, right? I've got all of this on video. Understand what I'm going to do. To which point the employee decides she doesn't care. She's going to unload all the more. So I would hope that we see the difference here. And again, when it comes to Planned Parenthood, yes, loathe them. Loathe them. Please. Because of their ethic to begin with, right? And let's get on that page. Nobody is going to support eugenics. Nobody's going to do that. I don't care how rabidly pro-abort you are. You are not going to get on the page of, yes, black people need to be eradicated. You're not going to get that. No one will agree with that. But yet, this is where we began with Planned Parenthood. We've got to speak more intelligently about these things that are true and indisputable facts that we can prove in order to get people on our side. I've been criticized about nuancing language in order to try to create an opportunity to find common ground. We got to get better at this, right? We're at a point, some say we're closer now to complete separation of ideology than we ever have been before, even to the point of the pre-Civil War time when we kind of had this North and South mentality. We've got a very similar polarization now, and we hang so tight and grip so tightly to these things that we believe, as opposed to saying, wait a minute, right? There is a consistent ethic if we begin to build upon the ethic, as opposed to just build upon the ideology. I think it takes some thought, it takes some discernment, and it takes really kind of exploring an opportunity to see things collectively as opposed to individualistically. It's not easy, and I assure you, if you join me stepping into that territory, be prepared for what you'll experience. But we got to think about this stuff. Out of time. Thank you so much for listening. Follow me on Facebook again, Leo C. Brown. I post everything over there and we talk about it there as well. So we have time for this afternoon, Leo Brown. Almost hour. God bless you.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.